I'm Tiziana Dearing, and we have a guest from New Hampshire on tomorrow's show. Senator Jeanne Shaheen will be in studio too. Why? Well, from battles on funding in Congress to regional issues like housing and climate, there's a lot to talk about. What happens in Massachusetts doesn't stay in Massachusetts, and it's the same for New Hampshire. So be sure to join us. That's tomorrow on the show. You're listening to Radio Boston. What is that? It is the sound of a robot standing up. It's Atlas, made by Boston Dynamics. And while the task sounds simple, getting it there is actually pretty complex. Boston Dynamics has spent years developing and documenting Atlas, like in that video. And despite previous intentions that they'd never sell a version of the bot, they now plan to. So what does that mean? For a Boston robotics scene, for the future of employment in the Commonwealth. Aaron Pressman is a business reporter for the Boston Globe, writes on this stuff, wrote on that stuff, and is here to talk about it with us. Welcome back, Aaron.
Hi, thanks.
Okay, so Atlas creeps me out. We've talked about that before. Humanoid robots creep me out, but tell us what Atlas is.
So humanoid robot, like when the term robot was first invented in 1920, it was thinking about a robot that looked like a person. And so that's always sort of been something the robotics industry looked at. But it's really tricky, as you were saying, to get all the joints to move correctly, even just making it walk. About 10 years ago in 2015, DARPA, the Military Research Center, had a contest to make a humanoid robot. And if you go back and look at that video, it's on YouTube. It's pretty silly. They're falling over. It's hard to do. But we've made some advances recently, particularly Boston Dynamics, which came out of the Leg Lab at MIT. This is their specialty. And they have decided, and some other companies too, all around the country have decided, maybe this is the time we have the technology to make a robot that looks like a person.
So they had said, at least for a while, that Atlas was something they were developing, but not something they were ever going to bring to market. Now they're saying they're going to bring it to commercial market, meaning sort of to businesses. Does that mean they really always intended to? Did something change? What do we know about that, Aaron Pressman?
I think what has changed is the interest from industry. When they see something that people want to buy, you know, maybe before it was more of an experiment. I think they called it a research platform, and it was very expensive to build. It was sort of a custom. I think they only have a few of them, a handful of Atlases before. So, but now other companies. So Elon Musk got up at Tesla 2 years ago, and he has his Optimus robot. There's also some very well-funded companies on the West Coast that have started getting into this. And I think a lot of people were saying, hey, Boston Dynamics was the originator of robots that could walk on legs. Where are you?
So someone was going to do it. Keep going.
Absolutely. So I think they started last year, maybe in the last 2 years, as far as we can tell, they started putting their heads together. Could we make a version of Atlas that actually could do some of these jobs in factories and in warehouses and so on that other companies are already rushing to do?
So actually, I want to play a little bit of sound on that last part for a minute. You know, your colleague, Scott Kirstner, talked to us back in January about Boston Dynamics. They have a new AI institute in Kendall Square, and here's what he said about how automation will change the workforce.
There are lots of jobs where it's very hard to find humans to do them today, or there's lots of turnover among the humans you hire. And so that's one area that roboticists will say, hey, working in an Amazon warehouse in the month of December, we can't find enough people to fulfill those orders. So let's have robots do it.
So that's the market, right, that you're talking about. Although I understand, and you said, quote unquote, new version of Atlas, that this robot, as they think about bringing it to market, won't be sort of the package maker in an Amazon warehouse. And we'll come to the fact that Amazon has some robots in its warehouses in a minute. But what is this version of Atlas actually designed to do?
Right. Well, you know, we have tons of robots out there. Amazon and Walmart and others have robots. In the car industry, they have those big arms that are welding robots that are just not shaped like people. So why do you need this expensive, complicated AI-powered robot in a factory or in a warehouse? Maybe not for just moving boxes. I talked to a venture capitalist, Fadi Saeed, a few weeks ago, and he said, that's not really the right application. Are there places where it's really hard to maneuver? Maybe the things which you're picking up and lifting are of unusual shape or particularly heavy and hard to move, where we have humans still doing it today. That's where maybe a humanoid robot could fit in. So this new version of Atlas, it's first going to be trialed by Hyundai Motors, the car company which owns Boston Dynamics. So it's inside a very heavy industrial factory application.
Okay, so If you were the head of Boston Dynamics sitting here, I would be behooved to say, okay, you built a robot built like a human, designed like a human, with the physical motions of a human. You must be looking to replace humans.
Well, I think one of the, you know, that's been the debate about automation since the beginning of time. There are the studies at MIT, some of them showing that, you know, automation has perhaps created more jobs than it's eliminated. But the maxim in the industry is they want to take those jobs that are, quote unquote, dangerous, dirty, and dull. Jobs that are not good for humans to do, these kind of repetitive, heavy lifting jobs. Amazon will tell you that since they've put in robots, they have 18% less missed days from injuries. There's a variety, you know, there's a lot of contradictory research back and forth about the effects of automation. But these are jobs for which there aren't enough humans, or for which maybe it's dangerous or a bad idea for humans to be doing.
So our colleague Yasmin Ammer, who's now our executive producer, at one point was a business reporter for WBUR, and in doing some reporting in 2022, found a state report on the future of work that estimated that between just shy of a million and 1.2 million Massachusetts jobs could be replaced by automation by 2030. I'm curious about that when we pivot to what we know about what's happening in Amazon warehouses. You've just reported that Amazon opened a new warehouse in January with robots. They have 750,000 robots around the country, but also all built in Massachusetts. That's an interesting, right? Maybe you replace some jobs, but also maybe there's the jobs in the building. So in what you're seeing, I mean, that number feels real, but also what you're seeing, how do we think about that complex math equation, Aaron Pressman?
Well, I think for Massachusetts, a place where we have the high-end intellectual firepower and we're creating highly trained, highly educated workers, I think probably where Massachusetts is a winner in this. Amazon will tell you, because they bought a startup called Kiva Robotics in Massachusetts more than 10 years ago, every single one of those 750,000 robots that they deploy all over the world in their warehouses was built in two factories in Massachusetts. Now, you know, we're not a manufacturing hub anymore, but we have these high, high-skilled jobs. At the new warehouse that I just visited that just opened in North Reading, this huge, it's 4 million square feet, five floors, it's unimaginably gigantic, there aren't very many people in it. The total employment, you know, from all the shifts and all times of year and everything, is about 1,500 people in this 4 million square feet. And that's because they have robots, not humanoid robots yet, not humanoid robots at this time, but they have all these little robots that are little oval-shaped robots and arm robots that lift and move things that are doing all those heavy lifting jobs. But some of those 1,500 jobs that are there are the robot technicians, the people who diagnose and fix the robots. That is a higher skilled job. I think that's probably, we would probably say that's a better job than somebody who's moving boxes.
So in Yasmin Ammer's reporting, she cited a professor of economics from MIT who argued that automation has exacerbated wage inequality in the U.S. over the last 40 years. Way back, nearly that long ago, when I was in management consulting, the big term of the time was the knowledge worker, right? That this was, the next era was going to be all about the knowledge, but the people who worked with knowledge, right? It sounds like what you're saying is Massachusetts being a knowledge-intensive labor force, we might escape some of the wage gaps and the losses just because of who we are and how we work as a state, Aaron Pressman?
I think that's what I would hope for. I think that's the optimistic scenario, right? A lot of automation has replaced what used to be good middle class, probably unionized jobs in manufacturing. And though that is part of why we have this challenge with inequality being reinforced by automation, because those middle class jobs that are going away. But I don't think we would necessarily call these sort of warehouse logistics jobs in that same category.
And what about the repair piece, right? I want to keep sort of following these threads, which we're going to do, I think, Aaron Pressman, over and over and over again over the next 10 years. So now you've got, at X period of time in the future, Boston Dynamics is going to be selling Atlas humanoid robots to companies to be doing types of jobs that are either too physically heavy and awkward or dangerous and unpleasant for humans, which means that they're going to be taxing on the physical structure of the robot as well. What about new opportunities, just like we think about in green jobs, for repair and technicians and refurbish? Are we thinking about that and preparing our workforce for the support work around this kind of technology?
Well, I think the governor in her AI push is and her climate tech push is trying to start thinking about part of that initiative is to look at the workforce of the future and not just people with PhDs, but in the vocational area. Are we training people with the electrical skills and repair skills for all these kinds of new technologies that are coming online, including robotics? So I think there definitely is a thought to that. Whether we're actually going to be able to achieve that or not is going to be very challenging, even just with the demographics in our country of, you know, whether we have enough educated young people coming along.
So we're having a conversation here with Aaron Pressman of the Boston Globe, business reporter there who follows technology. Boston Dynamics has announced an intention to sell a humanoid robot called Atlas to other companies. In our remaining time, Aaron, here's the other piece that intrigues me. You and I have talked in the past about the complex tasks that it took and the time that it took. You touched on it at the top of this conversation, right? To make a robot like Atlas do the things that Atlas can now do, and the machine learning that has to happen to follow somebody else's work and say, now I know how to pick this up. Now I know how to put it over here. It was a research thing originally. Are we watching the kinds of complex tasks it will do when purchased to accelerate the kind of machine learning that other robots can do in the future? Will this create an accelerated rate of new development once it's going? Do you understand what I'm asking?
I certainly think that's the idea, but a lot of what we see is these sort of edited video clips. It's not just Boston Dynamics. There's this company in Silicon Valley, Figure AI, that has some cool humanoid robots that do things. So we're just at the very beginning of humanoid robots, and it is controversial. I received, after I wrote about the Boston Dynamics thing, an expert robotics from another company wrote to me and said, like, you know, this isn't going to work. We don't have the battery power. We don't have the software training to make it do all these tasks. It's too complicated. It's not going to work. It's going to be too expensive. So there are definitely skeptics. This is not a certainty that these humanoid robots are going to catch on and be in all our factories.
All right, so you follow this kind of thing. You follow it in the state. We've gone Massachusetts heavy in this conversation. What are you watching for now?
Well, I think we need to be able to see if someone's going to buy these robots and actually put them out in the field. You can go to the Amazon, one can go to the Amazon warehouse and see the thousands of robots doing their job and doing it well.
If your name is Aaron Pressman, you can go to the Amazon warehouse. Sorry, go ahead.
You can see them doing their job and they're doing it well, thousands of them at a time, and the company is relying on them. So we have to get past these YouTube videos and, you know, onstage demonstrations. So Hyundai, the motor company that owns Boston Dynamics, are they actually going to start putting these in factories? Can we see them doing work? Figure AI is working with BMW similarly. Are we going to actually see these in the field doing real work?
All right. Aaron Pressman of the Boston Globe. Once you know the answers to those questions, will you come back and tell us about them?
Definitely.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.